I wish to read to you two passages this evening. The first one is from the book of Revelation, the first chapter, and then also from the first letter of John, also from the first chapter. But before we read together, let us invite God to speak to us this evening and open our hearts to receive his message. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as we gather this evening, we come with humility and we bow before you as our God. We have come to submit ourselves to you and to your word and allow you to speak to us and your spirit to transform our hearts and our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to meet as your people, whether here in the sanctuary or online. We are grateful for the opportunity, and we now pray, God, that your Spirit will truly open our hearts and our minds to humbly receive your message this evening. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on this account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. On his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then also a few verses from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord. So Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent, and Lent is a time for reflection, thinking about our own lives, our own significance in light of who God is. It's a time for introspection and an opportunity to look inward. It's a time to put things in perspective, to meditate on our own mortality, to consider our own sinfulness and our need of a Savior. It's an opportunity to take stock of our faith and our relationship with God. It's an opportunity to ask, who am I? Who am I really? And that's the question that I've been pondering over the last few days. Who am I? And I guess the obvious answer to that question is, I am Albert. I'm a husband and I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I'm a genius. Yeah, I mean, some of you didn't know that, right? But one of my kids told me that when he was 2 years old, he said, "Daddy, you are a genius." And it's amazing, you know, how much insight kids have at the age of two, right? But I'm also an idiot, okay? Because the same child told me that when he was 11 years old. "Dad, you're an idiot." I'm also a jerk, by the way. You know, some people have told me that. And those statements are, they're all appropriate, I guess, in one way or another. But who am I really, right? Who am I when I go deeper? When I dive down below the surface? What is my real identity when I do the onion and peel away some of the outer layers? When I take a close look at my own life here at the beginning of Lent. When I take a close look at my own life in light of who God is. Rick Warren starts off his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with these words: "It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about God. Life is all about God, and it is in Him that we find our identity. It's in Him that we find our purpose. It's in Him," the book of Acts says, "we live and move and have our being." And so if I want to go deeper on this Ash Wednesday and ask the question, who am I? Who am I really? It has to start with God. If I want a proper perspective on who I am, then I first need to look at who God is. So listen to this. Revelation 1:8. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Alpha and Omega are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. So what God is saying is, I am A and I am Z. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the one who has existed forever. I'm the one who is here now. And I am the one who will forever be. There's no one bigger. There's no one more powerful. I'm sovereign. I'm strong, I am almighty, I am God. And he says again in Revelation 21, verse 6, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." So when I think about who I am, it is important to realize that it all starts with God and it all ends with God. God is God and I am not. All I am is because of God. He made me and He gave me life, and He can take away that life at any moment. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be alive. All I have is from God. My job, my wife, my children, my possessions, my health, it's all a gift from God. It's all because of God's grace in my life. And so it all starts and it all ends with our Almighty God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And I think that brings, you know, some perspective to my life and who I am. I would be nothing if it wasn't for God's grace. Why is that important to know? It's important in light of what the American society has become. A number of years ago, Ruben Navarrete Jr. wrote an article for CNN about how our society is becoming increasingly self-centered. He says a lot of people are talking about our society is undergoing a rash of rudeness, but that's not completely accurate, he says. It's more like a rise in self-centeredness. But this phenomenon, he says, isn't limited to celebrities and previously anonymous backbenchers in Congress basking in 15 minutes of, you know, fame. There are many people out there in all walks of life who think they're more significant than they really are. Plagued with an exaggerated sense of self-importance, they feel entitled to do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it, no matter whom it hurts. The self-centered rarely think about the consequences because they're too busy claiming what they see as their rightful place in the spotlight. So if I want to be, you know, reflective as I embark on this Lenten journey to the cross, then I need to realize, well, God is God, and I definitely am not. I'm not God. And that brings perspective to who I am in the grander scheme of things. Here's something else Ash Wednesday reminds me of. God is holy, and I am sinful. When I fully realize who God is, and when I truly comprehend how awesome God is, the creator of the whole universe, when I see his son, Jesus, for who he is, the sinless and spotless and perfect and unblemished lamb who was slain for the sins of the world, then it brings perspective to who I am. The Bible says nothing and no one is holy like God. Nothing and no one is holy like God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's no one who is righteous, not even one. All have turned aside. There's no one holy like God, and there's no one who's righteous. So does that no one include you? Does it include me? Of course it does. We've all taken the wrong turn, and we continue to take the wrong turns in life. I repeatedly miss the mark, and so do you. We've all wandered down blind alleys, and we continue to do so. And so if I want to be honest with myself, I need to admit that, well, I am a sinner, that I'm struggling, that I fall short in so many different ways, in my relationships, in my words, in my thoughts, in my actions, in my attitudes. I'm sinful, and I need to be open about it and own up to it, because that's who I am. Because, says God's word, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. You see, denial is not going to get us anywhere. Ignorance is not going to get us anywhere. We can only be helped if we're aware of our condition. If I recognize, well, there's a problem with my spiritual condition. And so Ash Wednesday is the appropriate opportunity to take a close look at who you are. It's the right time to acknowledge your sinfulness and your need of a Savior. Because God is holy, and I'm not. As a matter of fact, I'm, you know, a struggling sinner in need of some help. I need God's help. I need someone to save me. The good news is that there is help. As long as I recognize my condition and As long as I repent, there is hope. It says further in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I confess my sins, God forgives them. And he cleanses me from everything I've done wrong. God says, I am the one who takes care of your sins when you come to me in faith. That's what I do through the sacrifice of my son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It says in 1 John chapter 2, I write this letter to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right. He's the way our sins are taken away. Jesus is the way our sins are taken away. And we all need God's help and God's forgiveness through his Son who takes our sins away. Let me share one more thought with you. One more thing that is important for us to realize as we contemplate the meaning of Ash Wednesday and Lent. And it is this. God is first, and I am second. Lent is the right time to sort out our priorities. Lent is a good time to figure out your place in light of who God is. He is first, I am second. Not I come first and then come God. No, the other way around. He is first and I am second. I mean, nobody likes to play second, does it? Do they? Nobody likes to be runner-up. But that's the way it works if I take my faith in God seriously. He is first and I'm second. Jesus says in Matthew, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He was teaching his disciples, and the topic of who's going to take care of us came up. What are we going to eat, Jesus, and what are we going to drink, and what are we going to wear? Worries about tomorrow, and worries about who is going to provide. And then Jesus says to them, listen, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And he will give you all you need from day to day. If you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. He says, let God reign in your lives and your hearts. Let God reign. Let him be king in all aspects of your lives. Let him be first and let you be second. Strive first for his kingdom and the rest will all fall into place. Make him first in your schedule. Make him first in your priorities. Make him first in your relationships. Give him first place in your life and you will be blessed beyond measure. When God is first and I am second. David said it like this in Psalm 16. My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I am your choice. God, I choose you first. I put you first in my life. And now I find that I am actually your choice. I'm receiving your blessings. So who am I? Maybe not a genius after all, but it's a good question to ask on a night like this. Well, I am not God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Everything begins and ends with him, including my life. I just live by his grace. He is holy, and I am so not holy. As a matter of fact, my life is full of sin. And I need to bring that to Him in the name of Jesus. Because He forgives me. And I am second. God is first. I am second. And when I make Him first in all parts of my life, then His incredible blessings await me. Amen.